Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. It's been a two-week layoff. We're back up in the hizzy. Talk some sports cards. We're going to have Rich Layton from LaytonSportsCards.com to join us again in a few. We got Black Friday talk. There's all kinds of releases that we haven't even talked about. Immaculate, Topps Chrome, Leaf Memory. So we're kind of go over all that stuff. As well as a group break failure segment. We'll talk about some of our shortcomings along with stuff that I've seen, and should be a pretty funny little segment, and, you know, we'll go off on some tangents. Dan, what's going on?
What's going on? Just, I'm in Target parking lot waiting for Black Friday deals. I heard they're going to have a blowout on retail packs, so I got to be first in line for that.
Get your value. Take a value box sitting there. Make sure get it first.
I'm getting value boxes, man. I'm getting. I'm gonna get a whole pallet full of them. I know there's gonna be a lot of people looking for them, so I got to get in there. I'm in line right now. People are looking at me. It's weird. They're like,
did
Tuesday.
You just sitting in Target with a tent right next to the sports card area.
Yeah, I'm actually. I'm doing breaks tomorrow in my tent. From right in front of Target. We're going to get Wi-Fi
nice.
Connection. Just doing it right there. I got to be first one to get it, man.
Nice. Are you going to finger feel the packs first, too?
I'm only going value boxes, man. It's going to be hard. Maybe I'll shake them. I'll shake them, see if there's anything in there.
Nice. Well, dude, your Rams, man. Chicago, they dropped them. Like, what happened to this team? What you guys got breath of life all of a sudden?
Kellen Clemens is, he's the future. I love that guy. No, I don't know. Our defense has always been good. You know, we just, I don't know about the Colts game because I would like to say, well, the Colts were injured, but, I mean, they're only really missing Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
And we just dominated them. The Bears, I mean, without Jay Cutler, they're a shell of a team. So, I don't know. We'll see. The true test is on Sunday. I'm thinking we're going to probably beat the Niners by 21, 24 points. It's going to be lopsided. Niners season will be over. That's probably why I'm not driving, because you know damn right that would be blaring from my car while we're barbecuing, tailgating. I would reenact some of the dance moves too. It's some good dance moves. If anybody hasn't seen the video, just type in Ram It in the YouTube, and you know, makes me real proud to be a Rams fan.
You got Eric Dickerson rapping, Jackie Slater rapping,
yep.
I mean, I don't know how they didn't put out a video, like a rap career after that. That's how good of rappers those guys were. I mean, they were amazing.
You know, move your hips if it helps you. Helps me.
Yeah, everybody seemed to copy the Super Bowl shuffle, man, and that was one of the bad ones. I mean, the Niners one wasn't very good either. Maybe at the time it was hip and cool with your, you know, acid wash jeans to, you know, get into that kind of stuff. But
I look back on it
now.
I look back on it and go, it's hip and cool. It was proper for the era. I mean, you got to imagine when that came out, people were probably like, man, these guys are like cutting edge. Love that jam. And it's one of those songs. It's like, you know, it'll live on forever. It's iconic. It's like Stairway to Heaven, Hotel California. Granted.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely Google YouTube that one, because that'll get you some laughs. I mean, there's like, I don't even remember the player. It's like some white guy with a beard, and it's just, that's like the worst part of the, worse in a funny way. Worser, if that's a word. I can't even, you know, explain how bad it is. Worser. I said that on purpose, but it's a pretty entertaining little video. And then after that, type in Niners, and you'll see Jerry Rice rapping, and that's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, so you guys at that point had the you guys had the star power. We didn't really have the star power. We had Eric Dickerson, Jackie Slater, and that was pretty much it. But we were a decent team back then. And yeah, maybe they'll make a new one. I could see Sam Bradford laying it down.
Zach
little C walk. Little C-walk for Sam Bradford.
Well, we got to up the stakes. We did one bet, and, you know, you lost. So maybe this is your chance at redemption. So what do we do? In the spirit of the L.A. Rams song, whoever loses has to come on here and rap for 20 minutes, 20 seconds?
Sure. You know, since I lost last time, I mean, I'm already at a disadvantage. The game's in San Francisco. I think I should get 10 points. What do you think?
10? 10? I'll give you the Vegas odds here. We go Vegas odds on you.
Can you wait until Friday? when they have all the money down on it?
Let's see.
Right now it's probably maybe 3.5.
Oh no, it's 9. Holy crap.
9? Yeah. So give me 10. Give me 10.
I'm down with 9. I'll do nine. We'll do 9.5.
Dude, I'll who's gonna? Who? Don't give me. Oh yeah, don't give me 9. I mean, you think the Niners are gonna win by a touchdown and a safety?
No, 9.5. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just if we win by 9, I'm screwed. But if they win by 10, I'm good.
Well, how are they gonna win by 9? Dude, I hate Vegas odds. I hate when they come up with the numbers. That makes no sense. It should be like 3, 3.5, 7, 7.5, 10, 10.5, 14, 14.5. None of this 9.
I'll give you five and a half. I'll give you 9 and a hot dog, man.
Hot dog's like $5. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
I do love hot dogs. No, we'll do straight up, because I know the Rams are going to win, so I won't take the points from you. But I guess we'll have to do I'll have to rap the Niners song, a little piece of the Niners song, and you have to do a little piece of the Rams song.
You could rap and say whatever you want, but it has to like proclaim the love of the other team. You can make whatever.
So you telling me it's like 8 Mile where I gotta like flow, like freeform rap without writing it down. It's not scripted.
Well, you can write it down if you want, but I'm just saying you don't have to like take the Niners rap song and recite it. You can just do whatever.
Is there gonna be a beat underneath, or am I just gonna have to go a cappella on everybody? What's the deal? I need to find out what the details are. What's the stipulation? What's going on?
I'll get a beat for you. We'll have you rap. You'll rap over Christina Aguilera because it's your favorite artist, and I will. You can have me rap over whatever we want. You can beatbox if you want.
I do got to say, and you know, you always bring up Christina Aguilera. That first album is very well produced. Really, give it a listen. Check it out. Just saying.
And you know what, not to go on a kind of, well, this is kind of what we're talking about. You can get Kellen Clemens' 06 Contenders auto for about $4 right now. So I would definitely go in there and shield bid Dan, because I could see that he's got a ton of bids on some Kellen Clemens' 06 Contenders in a Jets uniform. So future star quarterback of his St. Louis Rams. So make sure you scoop those up.
Here's a little trivia for you, Doug. Where did Kellen Clemens go to school?
I don't know. I could Google it and lie to you and act like I know.
No, Google. So you don't know.
I don't know.
In the Pac-12.
I didn't really start watching college football until recently because I worked on Saturdays. Now I don't have a
Oregon.
Job.
Oregon.
Oregon. Nice.
Oregon.
Good knowledge.
Who else went to Oregon?
LaMichael James.
LaMichael James. LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah. Hit him in the mouth.
Yeah.
Know that. Where in honor of Trevor in the room, where did Frank Gore go to college?
The U?
Yep. That would be it.
So, so trivia's done. Show's done. Let's go home.
That was kind of a cool little intro, I guess. A little bit of a tangent to start off the show. Rich Layton should be joining us here shortly. We're going to talk about some recent releases, talk about group break failures. So if you guys have any ideas in the chat of what would make a funny segment on just, you know, group break failures in general, we had a lot of failures. So we're going to talk about some of those. You know, Black Friday is upon us. Panini's got a great promotion out for, you know, going to the local card store, buying a couple boxes, buy an A box. You can get these sweet Black Friday packs. And they seem to be loaded this year. They got some Michael Carter Williams autos, RG3, Luck, anybody you can pretty much want in a Panini. Kobe, Durant, they're all in there. It looks like it's better this year. So I'm stoked for that, seeing some of the cards already on eBay. I mean, who would sell on eBay early? I mean, packs being sold for $80 for a 10-pack of Black Friday packs. Crazy. These dealers are just like, man, I don't want to give to the customers. I won't put them on eBay. But it looks promotion.
What's the setup this year? Last year it was like two cards a pack. Is that what they're doing again, except for the ones that have relics? Relics are maybe one card a pack?
It's three cards a pack, and the one with the thick card, if you get the thick card pack, it looks like it's one base card and, the hit, so to speak.
And did they still have the cracked ice variations and all that good stuff?
They do, and the design looks a little bit better this year, which I like. I like some of the base cards I'm looking at on here. They look pretty awesome. And they also have those progression plates, which are, I believe, they're like number to five. So they have all the different colors of the
progression. I was gonna talk about the progression plates. They brought those back, huh?
What's that?
They brought those back, the progression plates?
They brought those back, yeah. It's kind of like a way to, instead of putting printing plates, they put five of, you know, a progression plate, so with a blank back. They don't really sell for a whole lot unless it's like, you know, Kyrie and stuff, but they're still pretty cool, and it's a, you know, anybody that super collects that player is going to want to get that card, so.
Yeah, my opinion, I don't love them. I'm not in love with them, but
yeah.
I get it. I know, I'm just being a downer over here.
Yeah, it speaks to a certain market. I mean, I'm becoming not a fan of printing plates in general, just because it seems like they've been saturated lately. But you know, I'd rather have a number to five rather than a 1-of-1 plate. I mean, and you can see it in sales. One thing that they did do this year, which is interesting, they have a Happy Holidays insert where I'm looking at a Tavon Austin here. They took, he's wearing a Santa hat, and they cut up the Santa hat and they put it in a card.
That's cool.
So it's kind of, and then, you know, the fuzzy part of the Santa hat, the card just looks ridiculous.
Fuzzy
like
card.
It's a ridiculous looking card because it's just like, just all fuzz on the card. It's like just this big old square with like this crazy fuzz. So I don't know. I got to see one person. I don't know if I like it quite yet, but it's definitely unique.
Well, all right.
So that's kind of interesting. And they have the Super Bowl, which I hope I really don't pull any of the Ravens ones because it's going to bring back all those bad memories. But they have the Super Bowl, the jerseys, the pylons, those are back. They have Niners and Ravens cards of those. Standard relics of pretty much all the sports. They have the towels again. So all the rookies basketball rookies this time around have the towels. Anthony Bennett, you can get a towel. maybe with some DNA on there. I don't know. You're into that kind of stuff. You could maybe smell it. I don't know. See if you got any sweat on there. And yeah, it's a pretty cool looking set. Plus, you know, high end chase cards like the Carter Williams, Kyrie autos. And it's just an incentive to go back in your store and buy what you already bought anyway, and then get a little bit of a bonus for it. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the look of the pylon relics in the Super Bowl. Those were pretty cool last year. I don't remember if they have. They don't have autoed versions of those, right? Those were just relics.
They had autos of them. They were short printed.
Okay.
Yeah, we pulled a Mod Bradshaw pylon relic, but the thing that's weird about the Black Friday stuff is they don't number anything at all. So, but then they have a print run on some of the stuff, so it's kind of confusing. It's like, so the pylons aren't numbered, but then the pylon autos aren't numbered either. So there can't be that many of them. So it's kind of a mystery. I guess that adds to the promo. It's like, maybe there's only five of these, so I could sell this for X amount because,
there's no stamp number on the back, but last year they came out with the progression plates were numbered to five, and I think the cracked ice were numbered to 25, 15, or 25, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for them
print,
to do.
There's print run stuff out there, but I don't think they're gonna release that for. That's probably not gonna be released for about a week.
Yeah, and I believe you could buy some of the stuff on. To get the packs, you could buy directly from Panini on it. I think on selected products. Let me find out. What you can do if, you know, you're not next to a card store, what you can do to get these. It's iCollectPanini.com, and it looks like, oh, yeah, here's the breakdown. So if you buy Hobby, Jumbo of Hoops, you can get 4 Black Friday packs, Prestige 4, Hometown Heroes Baseball, 12 Black Friday packs. That's a pretty good deal. 10 Black Friday packs for Prism. So it looks like the best deal is Hometown Heroes, which really was kind of not a bad set. I mean, you had some kind of interesting inserts and some old school autographs and a lot of cards, and it wasn't a bad set. It kind of like just kind of went right under the radar as soon as it came out.
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah, we opened up a box of that and it wasn't bad at all. I actually thought it was a fun break. So, 12 Black Friday packs, and what are they selling a box for?
$120.
That's not bad. I want to say on eBay, you can probably get a jumbo box for like $60-$65.
A jumbo
box of that Heroes of Baseball or whatever, called.
Yeah, well, they only made it in one format. It's all that one size.
No,
with all those
40 cards. So it's not like a. Are you sure it's not a? They didn't make a hobby version of it. They just made that because it was kind of like a jumbo, but it wasn't. Like 24
right,
cards
yeah,
a pack or something like that.
Like 20 cards, yeah, exactly. It's 3 autographs. Yeah, you could probably get it on eBay for 60, but you'd also to get 8 packs, you'd probably have to send 80. So you know, maybe with iCollectPanini.com, you can get. And then you know that the packs are not searched either. It makes you wonder if. You know, the guys on eBay have searched these packs or resealed them or what. I mean, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt, obviously, but you just never know with the packs that, you know, maybe the guy opened until he got, you know, a big hit and sold the rest on. You never know. So at least you know they're coming from Panini this way. So, but I may pick up that deal right there, Hometown Heroes. That's a good one. Looks like the other playbook is 6 packs. Select Hockey's 5 Black Friday packs. Momentum Football 6. So, they must really have a lot of Hometown Heroes left to do the 12.
Yeah.
The 12.
Now, are those, I wonder if those ship from Panini or if they're shipping from a distributor. I wonder if they.
They may have bought back some of the boxes for this promotion, I would think. I don't know.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I'm like, well, if they didn't, why are they holding back some products? Like, shouldn't those, I thought everything was essentially sold out and everything was in the hands of the distributor, but you're right. They could have bought back, you know, stuff from their distributor or or just took it back for a for like a credit for future purchases. That's probably what happened.
I think they do that. Yeah, they contact the distributors and give them a credit on stuff like that. Because like Intrigue, I looked on, like Blowout doesn't even have Intrigue, and that's one of the Black Friday promotions too. So you think that they contact these guys and yeah, exactly. They try to sweeten the deal for them on other products or give them a credit to alleviate some of the stock that they have. So
word
up. For sure.
Word.
word. Wanted to talk a little bit of Immaculate. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because we weren't on the show last week, and it came out, and it's on fire right now. People are loving the patches. What did you think about 12-13 Panini Immaculate?
High price point. It's actually it reminded me a lot of National Treasures. But after on the heels of Flawless, I think it's a better value than Flawless. The patches are insane. I love how they did the patches where if you get the whole print run of the patches, you can put them together and make the full logo. That's super innovative and, for lack of a better word, badass.
Fantastic, man.
And
they did that with hockey. It almost like, not to cut you off, but it just popped in my mind. They did that with hockey with Prime, and you almost wonder, did the hockey guy work on Immaculate? You know, I don't know if you guys in the chat know that. Andrew or something may know that. But it almost seems like that guy worked on Immaculate. Because the patches were just better placed and you know, those patches you just talked about that connect and stuff, that was what they did in Prime, and they didn't do that yet in basketball. And I'm like, man, it reminds me a lot
It was the work that went into the patches, the way they cut up the patches. Like, out of all the products I've opened, I haven't seen too many patches that were as clean as what was in Immaculate. And, you know, for the most part, like, it was the same kind of deal with Panini. If you open up a case, you're going to get a case hit. That'd be either like a Kobe Bryant auto, Magic Johnson auto, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, all those guys. And I think the value was really there based on how many hits you actually got per box and per case. I thought it was a better value than Flawless.
It's two different type of products, and I think that's some of the people were kind of let down because of the value in the boxes. But you got to, you know, it takes three to four, or maybe even five, and what the point where Flawless was Immaculate boxes to compare to a Flawless box. I liked it because Flawless was more of a white background. You know, they did well with Flawless. I mean, I loved Flawless, but this had a lot more color in it. It was just like a completely different animal. It was refreshing for basketball to how they did it with the vets, legends, rookies, the rookie patch. The rookie patch design was just absolutely one of my favorite designs that has ever been made, where it's in the middle and it always has multicolor. It actually looks like they took a page out of Upper Deck's book on that patch. But still, with the horizontal auto, I thought it was just one of the most beautiful cards that they've done.
They did a hell of a job. I'm on board with you. I can't really say anything bad about it. What I do know is going forward, next year, and again, this is speculation. I'm just speculating. I'm just throwing it out there. But not going to have a double rookie class next year.
Yep.
One of these products, and I'm talking about National Treasures, Flawless, and Immaculate. One or two of those products will probably not be back next year.
Yeah,
you gotta figure. I mean, and you gotta figure. NT is a staple. It's a flagship when it comes to Panini products. That one will probably. I can't see them not bringing and like replacing NT with Immaculate or Flawless.
I think they're going to get rid of more of their mid to low end products first. Like maybe Gold Standard on the chopping block. Maybe not Gold Standard. Well, Totally Certified already comes out tomorrow. But I think like the marquees and stuff are going to get cut because I think they've realized, and I know it's sad to say because it's priced a lot of guys out of the market, but I think that they're seeing that basketball is a high-end collector sport, and they're doing really well with their high-end basketball, and they don't do really good with their lower end.
What I would do if I could basically, you know, have a say in something, I would take the best out of Flawless, take the best design out of Immaculate, and keep NT the way it is, but add subsets to certain products that are going to be coming out next year. Now, yeah, it's
gotcha.
It's going to basically make certain products more expensive, but they shouldn't get rid of the jewel base cards. They should keep that around. Those sold really well. A lot of super collectors are going to search for their guys that they collect, for the diamond, the ruby, and the emerald cards. Keep that and put, like what they did with Prime Hockey by putting the Dominion pack in there.
Yeah.
Put a
jewel card. Funny. You're not even looking at the chat because I know you're not on the computer, and that's what they're talking about in the chat. So
we all think alike. There you go. And that's true. I am not on a computer. I'm in front of Target, camping out. Black Friday, baby.
maybe we can get Rich's opinion. Rich is on the hold here, so I'm gonna go ahead and bring him on. And so we got Rich Layton from LaytonSportsCards.com. What's up, Rich?
What's up, guys? How's it going, Dan? How's it going out in front of Target, buddy?
Dude, it's chaos, man. It's a war zone. I'm just running around. I have a shopping cart. I'm running people over.
You getting all them rack pack blaster packs and stuff, man? Racking up
dude,
all the retail cards?
Getting bad with it, man. You know me.
Nice.
Well, Rich, I mean, what did you think? I mean, you listened a little bit on hold for our Immaculate conversation. I mean, what was your overall thoughts, good and bad, about the product?
I enjoyed it. From a breaker standpoint, it was fun to rip. And it's funny, I actually spoke with Tim Franz about this on a personal phone call, and I'm not going to quote him or anything, but we were speaking somewhere along the lines of that he had a lot of feedback before releasing or before actually coming out with Immaculate that collectors wanted cases and boxes that were more along the lines of the holy crap, I can't believe this case and box versus the, you know, 25 cases in a row that are mediocre with one being very good and one being not so good.
Right.
And you saw that in Immaculate. You saw that exact that conversation was reflected in Immaculate more so than any product I've ever seen Panini release. Once in a blue moon, you'll get one of those free cases by Panini that are just absolutely loaded. Now with Immaculate, I feel like I think it was more hit or miss than any of the basketball products really have ever been. We had a couple of cases in the beginning that we ripped that were ridiculously loaded. Just every hit was like, oh, wow, look at this. Oh, wow, look at that. And then the last few cases that we ripped were kind of blasé. I don't want to consider myself a card snob because I enjoy cards for what they are. I enjoy all levels of cards, high, low end, whatever it might be. I'm not a fan of base cards, as everybody knows, but in terms of like autographs, relics and stuff, I'm a fan of all of them. But with Immaculate, I think it kind of left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth at the end. Maybe I just had a string of unlucky cases and it just left a bad taste in my mouth at the end because we hit like three bad cases in a row and I couldn't believe it. But
Yeah. You know, you, with a product like that, you're going to take the good with the bad. You're hoping to get that holy crap case and kill it. You know what I mean? So it was fun. I think it was a fun design. I totally agree with what you guys were saying in terms of it's a bit of a refreshing set, if you will. It was definitely new to see. Lots of color, lots of design changes and new. I like the acetate front, the acetate face with the normal second layer to the card. Like it had the normal patch and the normal autograph and stuff like that, but it had the acetate facade to the card. That was a good looking card. Like the RPAs that had the acetate front, they're amazing looking. So they brought in some new ideas and stuff with Immaculate that hopefully they'll use that, you know, certain technologies from those, from that set with other sets. I hope so anyway. Definitely. Well, here's a good question. Exquisite versus Immaculate.
Man, that's a tough call.
I mean, it's kind of two different animals in a sense, because LeBron and Jordan, obviously, but design-wise, who do you think, what do you like better?
Me, personally, I like this year's Exquisite design better, just because I'm a little more old school when it comes to the autographs that I like. I'm a major, major, major supporter of National Treasures. That's just...
Yeah.
I really, really like National Treasures autographs and patches, even the base relics and base jerseys. I just really like that really classic, simple, very bare-bones, simple design with it, more of a colonial to it, or more of an old-style look to it, rather than the flashy, really bright cards. That's just for my personal taste. As for... you know, the average collector, or, you know, just comparing it to everything out on the market right now, I'd probably say Immaculate takes it easily, just because of the array of different stuff in it and the array of the checklist. The checklist is a million times deeper. You can't even compare the rookie checklist. Upper Deck didn't, you know, they don't have the rights to almost the entire first round of draft picks from 12-13. So...
Right.
Just in terms of overall depth and value and everything else, for the average collector, Immaculate smokes it. It's not even close.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of two different products. You know, Immaculate, yeah, like you said, it's a deeper checklist. I think Upper Deck is definitely resting on their laurels with, you know, LeBron and Jordan. And I just don't know how many more LeBron Jordan products they could put out before just the values, but... I'd rather break Immaculate, but, you know, Exquisite was interesting. I do like some of the designs in Exquisite that they did. The Shadow Box cards, I think, are just ridiculous. I'm not a fan of those. I don't like a card that's 295 points, but, it was a fun break. You know, it's got value, lots of Malone, lots of Gary Payton, stuff like that, Larry Bird, Julius. So a lot of good legends in there. But I think with NT basketball, where they may have made a misstep, which they probably thought would sell a lot better than it did, was the dual autos and the dual patches that were not colored. By putting the two rookies on the card with the two autos, I think the value of the actual card, because you got Kyrie with like Yan Vesely and stuff like that, and it just, I think it was like a swing and a miss. They thought it was going to take off. So hopefully they don't bring those back as much as you were like pretty much getting a one or two dual autos in every NT basketball box.
I'm right there with you on that. That was one for NT basketball this year. That was definitely one major letdown, was some of the pairings just, it killed the value. Harrison Barnes was on the same card as so many different people. And, you know, from what I recall, almost none of those dual autos were on card. They're all sticker. So that killed the value too, you know. And then obviously the numbering watered down with the 99, then 49, then 10, then 1, you know, that didn't help it either. So, you know, you've got, 150 of the same Abdul autograph that's a sticker. So, yeah, that didn't help a lot. But yeah, I when you open a dual autograph, man, you want, you know, it's holy crap, I got a double autograph of this guy and this guy. Like, you know, it's
right.
Like a double feature. It's not supposed to be like a double, you know, Royce White and you know, whoever. You know what I mean? Like a Marquise Teague and Royce White. You know, it's like, oh, man. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully
yeah,
they'll learn from that mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be strictly the same guys on the same team. You know, maybe, you know, even Kyrie and Tristan Thompson probably wouldn't be great, but at least they're both Cavs or something, or Zeller. But, you know, I was noticing some auctions on eBay, and I had to ask, are you the high bidder on the David Ortiz beater?
Just talking about that. Oh, my God, it's so funny you brought that up. We were just talking about that right before I called in. You know, it took a lot of willpower. I tested myself today, and I think I passed. By not clicking the bid button, you know, I think maybe I'll try to contact the buyer and see if they're willing to maybe the piece out the collection. Maybe they'll let me buy the razor.
If you're not familiar with it, those listening or those in the chat, it is, there's actually a Shane Victorino as well. It was a promotion run by Gillette. So, and I think all the proceeds go to a charity. I'm trying to find out which one, but anyways, it's a beard ball. It's, they shaved their beard after they won the World Series, both Shane Victorino and David Ortiz. So there's
a championship beard.
Championship beard. There you go. Let me I'll rephrase that one. A championship beard ball, an autograph, and the razor they used, all in this nice fancy thing. And the high bid right now with 132 bids is $10,000.
Yep.
With 4 days left, is this thing going to go to 50 grand? Holy crap.
It might. It might. There's some major, I mean, come on, Nick. They're world champions of baseball, and they did it in Fenway this year. That's a. I don't care what it is. It's anything that belongs to that moment in time. Some of those major Red Sox collectors out there will pay anything for it. That's a really cool piece. It's also disgusting, and it's also awesome. So.
Yeah, I could just get it in the wrong hands. A guy may really dress up like David Ortiz for Halloween next year with some DNA on his face as well, you know, go out with one of these.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
You know, go out for Halloween. So, but, yeah, and the Shane Victorino's at, like, $3,000. So if you want a little piece of history, you don't want to pay David Ortiz prices, you get the Flying Hawaiian for, actually, I'm sorry, it's at $2,000 with 4 days left. So you may be able to get some hair from the Flying Hawaiian for maybe $3,000 or $4,000.
That's a deal.
And
that's
then it's a little ball. I wonder if Brian Wilson did this. It would be like a ridiculous, like the whole
like,
encase would be hair.
It'd be like the size of a basketball.
Yeah.
Just a giant basketball of hair. That probably would only be about $150 because nobody cares about Brian Wilson now. Let's face it.
Yeah. Well,
Free agent.
No, he signed with the Tigers.
Did he sign with the Tigers? What, today or yesterday?
Yeah, he signed today.
Who, Brian Wilson?
Yeah, he's on the Tigers now.
Wow. Crap.
Oh.
That won't last long.
Kind of hoping the Red Sox can pick him up for a dime, you know? I thought he'd fit right in with the beards and everything.
I don't think you want that rich. You don't want a guy going in there and loading the bases with no outs in a ninth inning, one-run game. Give you a heart attack, man.
No, you're right. We actually already did that once. His name was Jonathan Papelbon. We gave him to the
There you
Phillies.
Go.
Yeah, I mean, he could literally just sell his beard that's coming out of his beard for, and it'd be the same size as the Victorino and the Ortiz here. Crazy.
Are you talking about the beard ponytail?
Yeah, it's not long enough. It's got a ponytail too. It's a beard coming out of the beard. So, Back to, you know, I got up on a little tangent. What did you guys think of the 16 auto card of LeBron James that's currently on eBay from Upper Deck Exquisite?
I think it's simple math. I think if a LeBron James auto sells for $300, it should be worth 16 times $300. There you go.
But why?
I'm assuming that's what they were thinking. I don't know. I don't know. Why does that need to exist?
I have no idea.
It blows me away. As I was talking, we spoke about this once before, Doug, and I said that I could honestly see somebody like Leaf, like Brian Gray, I think, would love to have that card so he could cut it into 16 cut autographs and put it in the set.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't think of any other reason that anyone would ever need to own that.
I'm trying to find. Oh, it's $7,500, but it's got a red next to it with bid. So did it not hit the? That's crazy.
That didn't hit the reserve.
God, somebody had like
a reserve on that card.
Jesus Christ! I would have happily taken $7,500 for that card. Jesus.
In a second.
Oh my God! That's out of Brian Gray's price range right there.
That long money.
Wow. What's interesting about that card is like they didn't even really do anything separate. Like it would have been cool if they would have put an auto and then like a stat or something under each auto to kind of. I mean, they have slightly different pictures on all of them, and it's him when he was 14. But you know,
and it's a headshot though. It's not even like
it is
an action photo. It's just a headshot. That's all it is.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know who on the development team said, you know, this is what we need to do, guys. We have all these stickers laying around with LeBron. Let's stop making regular cards and just put them all in one book. I don't know who thought of that.
I think it was it's one of two things. It's maybe they're losing his license and they got all these stickers, or and I think somebody was talking about this on Twitter or something. It is a pissing contest saying, oh, we have LeBron, so we're going to make this ridiculously gaudy 16 auto book because no one else can do it. So, boom, there it is.
Right. Yeah. There's probably – that's about it. Either that or somebody actually thought, you know, somebody really wants this, and we're going to make this for them. And if that's the case, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I could see that happening. I could definitely see that as like a posturing thing by Upper Deck. Let's hope it's the former and it's them, you know, losing their license to LeBron and MJ. I would love to see them on the open market and like to see what happens.
Well, I know I think I heard that his deal is up in either this year or next year. So it's not, they don't have been inked very long. So. I mean, with Panini's success with these recent high-end products, if they can, I mean, they need to come up with that that long money, you know, and get them
tame up.
You know, get them signed for that long money. Get them in some on some heat cards. You know,
doesn't LeBron want like, you know, maybe a card of himself out there that's not when he was like 17, maybe.
I don't think he cares.
He probably doesn't, but God, like, I'm tired of, like, seeing LeBron autos, and it's, like, a picture of him, like, when he's 17, 18 years old.
I wonder if he sits back in his mansion after he gets out of his Ferrari or whatever, and he's got this package from Upper Deck sitting in his door in the off season, and he opens it up, and he goes, another card with me in high school on it. I wonder if he, like, sits back there and questions why they don't have him in a Heat uniform. I wonder if he's actually asked them, or they told him why, or he just signs him and he just doesn't care. He's just like, man, people must really like me when I was a kid. Like, they must really like my teenage photo. I'll keep signing them. You know, I mean, does he not, like, wonder and look why? You know, I don't know. Maybe he's too busy to worry about that kind of stuff. But
yeah. You're probably right. I would also like to think that maybe his kids, you know, collected cards, or at least like, hey, my dad's on a card. Like, look at this. I would imagine that conversation has come up. So, you know, it's like, why aren't you, you know, in this with your Miami Heat uniform, Dad? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. All I know is that I see the value of just a normal jersey, jumbo jersey out of Flawless for LeBron selling for $500 or more, numbered to what, 25? That's,
yeah,
you throw an auto on that sucker, and that is, you know, just another huge chase card in the set. I really hope that, like we were just saying, I really hope his contract is up with them and he goes to Panini or whomever, and, you know, they get him in a uniform and on some nice cards.
Well, if they were to get him, I mean, we all know that they would definitely monetize that as much as they can. So you would see a ton of LeBron autos. So that would definitely affect the secondary market after a while. Like, the first release that they have with him, like, say it was like a select basketball or something like that, those cards would go through the roof.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, the first one's always going to be the best-selling. They are going to put, if they were to have him, they would have to recoup that money somehow. So they would throw him in everything. And it would definitely, over time, like what we've seen with Kobe autos, it would definitely devalue over time. And same thing with his relic cards, too. I mean, those would start devaluing because he would just see the market flooded with them.
Yep.
And what's, you know, here's the question. I mean, I know there's an answer for this one, but I don't know it. Why can they have LeBron relics, but they can't have Jordan Bull relics? Is it when you're retired and you can't, I mean, it's still an NBA jersey. Why can't they not? I mean, the auto is one thing, but it must, when they're retired,
they don't even produce a base card for them, do they?
No, they don't. I think Jordan has his name trademarked. And he allows Upper Deck to use it. It's kind of like what Bonds did back in the day. Bonds had his name trademarked, and I think it was like in the mid-90s, they stopped producing base cards of Bonds.
Right.
So I think it has to do with LeBron basically has a copyright or a trademark on his name, and you just can't use it.
Yep. Or you mean Jordan?
Jordan, not LeBron. I don't think LeBron has his name copyrighted, trademarked, whatever legal jargon it is, but I think Jordan has a stipulation where you can't use his name or likeness in anything. Because remember, he was never on a video game either. Same thing with Bonds. Bonds is never on a video game.
Right.
It was Joe Young for Bonds. Everybody knows Joe Young. Big white guy, left-handed hitter, batted third in the Giants lineup.
Joe Young.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. I know. I almost didn't pick the Giants when I would play video games because I was like so upset there's no Bonds in there. I was like, this sucks. And then you used to be able to create a guy later and you just create him. You're like, all right, I'm just going to make him.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, you just create them, and then you just make sure you got them on your team, and you're golden.
Well, we don't normally talk about group breaking on this. I mean, besides, you know, some of our polls and stuff, I was just, you know, putting together the show notes today. I said, hey, you know, since Rich is on and, you know, we talked about it, I wanted to talk about, like, a group break failure segment, like stuff that either you've seen or done. And I'll preface this segment by saying, you know, we've made most of these mistakes and learned from them, so we're not saying that we're better than this by any means. So don't, if anybody's listening, don't think that this is like a pompous segment by any means. I just thought it would be funny to talk about some of the things that we've done or seen that it is comical, especially in the beginning. You can watch some of our videos, especially in like the first year, and it like looks like we're breaking out of a cave. Like literally, I don't know how people bought into our break back then. Like, literally, there's, like, no light in the video. And I'm watching the video, and it's like we're busting a case of, like, 2010 Topps Chrome football. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, seriously? Like, no one said, like, work on your lighting, bro, or, you know. And then we got an office space, and the lighting came natural. But, you know, the kitchen table breaks. It's just like, holy crap. Like, these guys are breaking from a freaking cave.
We were. It was a cave. No, I got one. I got one for it. I got one for you. I got one. Okay, probably about once every other week, anytime I do hockey in general, group break fail. Anytime I got to go through and do hockey, that's epic failure.
I literally tune in just to see it every time. I swear to God, I could be in the middle of the most important business transaction in the world, and I will stop an undoing to watch Dan break hockey. It is amusing.
Before we really started doing hockey, I would just get so flustered with the fact I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I just would say the name like 14 different times and be like, hey, one of them's got to be right.
it's like a half hour break that's done in like an hour and a half.
Oh yeah, I started
doing hockey in the beginning and I butchered the names just as bad as anybody out there. And I'll be honest with you, there's still a couple that still trip me up. There's no doubt about it. And because I'm not familiar with the players. And I'll tell you what I did. I actually, when I wasn't working, I would have the Versus channel or ESPN or whatever or NHL Network, and I would leave it on with the volume up in the background, and I would listen to the memes getting called out by the announcers. And that's, honest to God, that and just, you know, listening to other people break it, that's how I learned it. And I just kept doing it until I got a lot of the names down. That and a lot of help from the chat room. A whole lot of help from the chat room. Literally, like, enunciating everything for me, saying, oh, no, this is how you say it. And you just have to remember.
I'm considering buying a NHL media guide. So they know they have the teams and phonetics in there. So,
yep.
If anybody knows where to get a NHL media guide, definitely let us know. I don't know if they're readily available on eBay, but I'd like to get one of those.
No, you got to keep calling out Claude Giroux.
Well, it is Giroux.
It's Drew.
No, it's Giroux, Rich.
By Fuglian.
By Fuglian. One of the best.
How do you get Bufflin out of that? That's what I want to know. How do you get Bufflin out of that massacre of letters put together? How does that happen?
I like By Fuglian. I mean, he should really legally, you know, start pronouncing his name that way. That's a cool name.
If you took that name to 100 people that have never watched hockey or have ever heard of his name pronounced, 100 out of 100 people would never get it right.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's one of the worst.
But I think it makes it even worse. I don't know if I'm just saying a California guy is trying to do it. It's like we're so far from French Canadian. Like I was trying to come up with like another like race, but I, you know, maybe somebody would say I'm racist or something, but it's like it's just California dudes trying to say, you know, some of these names. It just makes it sound even worse sometimes.
I could buy a 1982-83 Calgary Flames NHL media guide. Probably not going to help out too much.
There might be one guy that's still playing for 31 years.
Ooh, there's a CD-ROM.
But, you know, I can say that I've never ate on camera before. I have seen that before.
I saw it today, Doug.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I saw it today. Somebody eating on camera.
Double bacon cheeseburger?
I don't know what it was. It looked appetizing, though, and then I actually got hungry.
Maybe he's sponsored by Carl's Jr.
I knew you were going to bring up the eating. I've never seen anybody do it. Doug and I have joked about doing it. But, Rich, you've seen somebody do it, huh?
I've seen somebody
today.
Do it, too.
Yeah, I've seen it many times.
I've... can't recall. I can't remember actually. I don't think I think I just joked and talked about it. Never seen anybody do it. I think it's just it goes without saying you should not do that. If you're, I constantly am like washing my hands like before we break.
I have eaten food while we have been live, not while opening cards or doing anything or recording, but I have eaten food while we were live because I literally hadn't eaten that day and I had been opening cards all day. So there, I guess that's a little different, but I have definitely eaten. I didn't like turn the camera to myself and shove the hot dog down my mouth, but you know, I've eaten food while being live.
Chili cheese broth.
I've ate off camera. I mean, there's been days where you go 6-7 hours. I mean, you know, you get passed
out. You ate off the camera?
Yeah, I had my burrito sitting right on top of the camera so you couldn't see it. And then I lit the camera up. That's awesome.
It helps with the focus.
You got to eat, but I just have never understood why you have your bowl of ramen sitting on the table where the cards are and you're eating, or the camera's pointed at you while you're breaking. I've never understood that, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. But like you said, maybe it's a good effect. You know, people get hungry when they're watching it, and, you know, you go eat, and it's good for the food industry, too.
Very bad for the card industry, because then they're going to leave.
That's true. I was just going to say, I'm like, you're basically telling your customers to go, hey, don't worry about what I'm doing. Go get yourself some food.
This tastes really good. I'll give you guys 45 minutes to run out to the store real quick. And I'll still be here waiting for you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, speaking of like when you guys first started and everything, I know we actually did a break once, speaking of sales, we did a break once where I actually read off the entire names and teams for a break that was happening later that day, and it was the wrong break. And I actually went through the entire break, calling out like, oh, there's a hit for John and there's a hit for Bob, and it was not John nor Bob. And I mean, literally, I got like 20, 30 emails in minutes saying, I thought I bought into this break. I bought this team. I bought that team. I literally read off the entire wrong sheet of names and teams for the entire break and broke the entire break that way. And then I had to go back and make another video saying, okay, here's the correct names and teams for all the cards we just opened. Yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah, I think we've had something similar to that too, yeah. I'm surprised no one in the chat, they're like, oh, I guess I got a free team or something. They're just sitting there watching it, they're not even saying anything to you. The blog TV days, that was when customers, or not, well, whoever, there probably weren't anybody that bought in. But that's when the comments in the chat were just magical. I mean, there was just so much creativity of F your mother or don't buy from this nut
scam alert.
You know,
scam alert.
Yeah, scammer. This guy shifts all your – there was one guy that kept coming in and goes, this guy doesn't top load your cards. He sends them in plain white envelopes. And he would come in like every week and say the same thing, like, scammer, he sends your cards in plain white envelopes. But he would say PWE, you know, because he didn't want to type it out.
But if you had sent them not top loaded in manila envelopes, that would have been okay, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we'd be like, well, we're not going to do that. We're just going to throw a first-class stamp on the card and just send it to you. The hell with a PWE.
Yeah, we should do it. Guys in the chat saying we should do a blooper reel. I wanted to make, like, a spoof video of just, like, over-the-top fails, like, on purpose.
We started.
I didn't want that to get frowned upon. People would think that would be real or something, and then they would be like, oh, God, this guy really does this.
We started doing one, and it got a little intense and a little over the top, and we had to basically pump the brakes and not do it anymore because it was definitely going to rub people the wrong way for sure. So, but I am down to revisit that idea and maybe do something.
Yeah, I mean, we were literally eating food while breaking to extreme. Like, we were dipping cards in ketchup, and, you know, then we're like, oh, people are going to say that's defacing the card, and you know, so we just we put the segment on hold for a little while.
I'll be honest with you guys, a lot of our bigger fails, and we've had numerous bigger fails on camera, they almost all involved alcohol, and I'd hate to say it, and I actually make it a practice now to not normally do that while breaking. I don't think the two mix very well. You get extremely unprofessional, and you get extremely rough around the edges. As you guys know, you've tipped back quite a few with me in Vegas and stuff like that, and you know, you can't try to run a business and be professional and answer serious questions and deal with problems while being inebriated. It doesn't work. It's just pointless. Don't even try to do it. I know there's people out there that do it on a consistent basis. Good for them. It does not work for me. Because that's where many of our biggest fails have come from, is, you know, while being intoxicated and having a few too many, and before you know it, we're just, you know, just making absolute fools of ourselves. So,
I know, you're like, what? What do you mean you want something because you didn't get a card in the break? You get nothing. You get nothing. What do you get? Nothing. I'll send you an empty bubble mailer. That's what you get. No. No, too much alcohol would cause something like that to happen. What do you mean I should have comboed that team? No.
Is this the free break?
Yeah.
My favorite.
If you've had too many, you might be like, well, I don't know. Could be. I don't remember.
That's funny. I actually got
maybe it is.
That's funny. I don't know if I even told you, Dan, you may have seen it the other day. We do the free breaks, you know, free packs and stuff, and I know you do too, but we have a separate email just for that, and it's freemojocontest@gmail. Now people are going to send me a bunch of crap now, but I got a message the other day that goes, I got a message the other day, this person was like, can you send me my free card? And I'm like, which card did you win? He's like, oh, I didn't win anything. I just thought you were sending out free cards. I'm like, well, you can join the free break. So they obviously watched the video and heard me say the email, and they're like, well, I guess it doesn't hurt to ask, I guess. But, you know, you get those people every once in a while, you know. And it's probably a kid, so I should probably send them something and not stop being an asshole about it, you know. And I'll probably should send them a pack now. I think I'm going to now that I talked about it on the air. I'm starting to feel bad. But, but you know, it's just.
Now the guilt's getting
like
there.
That. I know. Now the guys, yeah, I'm guilty. I'm gonna pack a bubble mailer right now, guys. But
oh,
yeah, there's
that's
a lot.
Good stuff.
And then there's I'm not the I don't, you know, I got a ridiculous man face right now, and sometimes I don't think people need to put their face on the camera. That's another you know, I try to buy into breaks because I don't get into my own breaks, and I buy from Rich a lot. And, you know, sometimes when Rich is not on, I go on there and I try to find somebody, and it's like you click on there and you're like, whoa, the face! And you're like,
It's just all face. Just all,
yeah.
Like a big wide pan of a head. And that's all you see.
Yeah.
It's very, yeah, I know what you mean. That freaks me out a little bit. Like, I've only been, you know, I've only had my face on camera breaking-wise a couple of times. And, you know, I don't think people want to see my face. I think people are paying to see the cards, not my head.
Yeah.
It's the blank stare into the camera sometimes it gets me. I'm like, this is just awkward now.
Or certain people out there who I've actually watched fall asleep. That's the truth. I literally have watched the person doze off, like slowly but surely, doing the nod. You know,
well,
the bobbly head knob, the nod with the you know, with the eyes just slowly shutting and shutting and shutting until finally, you know, they catch themselves falling asleep. I've watched that on camera.
Well, Doug, you've seen somebody just basically lay down on their bed, right? The camera
was
like,
I was just gonna say that.
At him.
It was like the guy was just sitting in his bed with the camera on him. And I was like, wow. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes we have downtime too, obviously, but we, you know, we'll put a box out there or you can stare at the Mojo Break banner for the 150th time. But, you know, it's falling asleep. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just, you know, even if I lost 40 pounds, you guys still would not see my face on the camera.
I think I know what you're talking about, actually. There was a person that was in bed with cereal. like eating breakfast on camera. I saw that. That was pretty cool, actually. I thought it was like the Truman Show or something.
Yeah, it's like you feel like you're invading their privacy. You're like, should I be watching this? It's okay. Oh, man.
You want me to come back when you're not busy, bro? Or are we doing something here? I just, none of us are above any of this, and I'm not saying that. But I just find it funny how some of these guys, you know, go on there and they think this is what they should do. Maybe we should tell them. Maybe no one's told them before. Maybe we need to.
Or maybe we're the fools and we should be the ones laying in bed with cereal trying to fill breaks.
Hell no, I'm not above. Yeah. I'm not above cereal. I love cereal.
That's what I'm
cereal right now.
I mean, I'm kind of jealous, honestly. I'm missing out.
I am missing out. Maybe we need to jump on board and understand what's going on. I think I'm just gonna hang out and, bring the cereal, Doug. I'll bring the milk. Let's get down tomorrow morning, little more early morning breakfast break. Just sit there.
Well,
and
you really wouldn't want to eat the cereal I just bought. I tried something new and went gluten free and oh man. There's a reason why gluten is in cereal. There's a reason
did
why
you pay,
when they
did
take
you
that
pay
out
less?
It tastes like paper. No.
Did you pay less? You should pay less for less gluten. They're like taking something away from you. I go to the store. I get like more gluten. I'm like, do you have anything with extra gluten? Hook it up. That's the premium cereal right there.
Oh man, yeah. I need to go. I'm going back to gluten. I'm actually, since I still have my box of cereal, I'm gonna look to just buy gluten separate. Like, do they just sell gluten in bulk so I can put it back in that box and maybe it'll taste good again? That's what I have.
Maybe try eating the box instead and see if that tastes any better.
Might be the same thing.
Probably made out of, it's made out of the same stuff.
Oh, man, yeah. I don't know what these people are trying to do.
But I'm curious. Is this person that was eating cereal in bed while breaking cards, maybe they're running their own radio show right now saying how dumb we are for actually, like, sitting there attentively while trying to conduct business? Like, what are these, you know, like he's saying on his radio show right now, like, what are these fools doing on these Ustream channels? They're like, do they think they're professionals that open cards? Like, they could just be laying in bed eating cereal like us. They're fools.
That's probably what's going on.
I will give them this. You don't have to cut your fingernails when you show your face. So, you know, I sometimes I look back on my videos and I'm like, man, that thumbnail right there is hanging. That's a big one. And I'm breaking it. I got this thumbnail and I'm like, and I've had people comment on our YouTube videos like, bro, cut your nails. And that hurt. Like, I didn't cut my nails before. I wasn't prepared, you know. I had the sleeves. I had the top loaders, but I didn't have the fingernail cutters.
Oh yeah, people get personal, man. They get really personal. Like, your cuticles look terrible, man. Get a manicure. Like, what? Excuse me? My cuticles? Like, you're attacking my cuticles? that's what you're gonna go after? Like, you got a million things to choose from, man.
The Nun647 in the chat said Rich paints his nails. They're nice.
Yes, yes. I have been known on occasion to actually go full on pink nails for special occasions. That is true. I don't do it too often that, you know, that anybody has seen. So, yeah, it's just something fun we've done, and I've tried out on my own. But, you know, that's none of your business. So, take that.
You and Dan have something common, because Dan used to paint nails.
I knew this was coming. I was like, I'm glad TJ's not on right now, because he'd throw me under the bus. But, yeah, I used to paint my nails. When I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, because you were gothic. You
do a lot of things to try to get laid, and I was painting my fingernails to get laid. So, you know what?
You do what you got to do.
It's a fashion statement, bro.
I'm trying to find the comments on YouTube, like how I could find the comments on YouTube, just like all of them in a row. There's some hilarious stuff on our YouTube channel about what people say. Like I had a
guy who was a part of our fan club. It was recently. And, wow, I think he probably went through, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 videos on YouTube just hammering me constantly about everything I did. He was a big fan.
Yeah,
big fan.
We have a couple. We have a couple that do that as well. You got to take the good with the bad, I guess.
I look at it and I laugh at it. I'm like, I think it's fine. I actually enjoy when people do that. I like the entertainment. I don't take anything personal, so.
That's what I'm trying to find, because there's some pretty entertaining comments on there. I'm trying to find out. Oh, here we go. I think I found some. Oh, I actually have to click on them.
I actually had a person say on YouTube, and which I think is funny, because you're probably watching from a phone or a computer, right? And they said I was too loud. Like, you have the option to turn down the volume on multiple devices. And, like, you're too loud. Like, oh, all right, well, turn it down. that's an easy fix. We can take care of that for you right now.
Volume! you want me to make a video on how to turn your volume down? Yeah, here's a few. One, we're breaking flawless, and I don't know if it was me or Dan, but it says Rolando, not Ronaldo.
Yes. That was so, that guy, you can go through, and he probably watched about 15 hours of videos and probably commented about 40 times. And a couple of them were good, and then he would retract what he said before. He's like, sorry, I can't give you a compliment. You're a piece of shit.
Well, worst comes to worst, Dan. I think you should always just default to, like, the Key and Peele names from the AFC versus NFC West Bowl or whatever, the East versus West Bowl. Yeah, I think you should just defer to those names, like, next time you see Dustin Bufflin or Claude Giroux, you should just say, like, Ingle McCringleberry or Ibrahim.
Ingle McCringleberry. I think I might do that.
Just blow right through the card, show it on camera, and say, yep, that's a hit for the Flyers. We got a 21 of 99 auto relic Ingle McCringleberry. And just put the card down, straight face, don't laugh about it, don't do anything, and just move on.
I think I'm going to do that.
And then that guy will comment. Well, you know that guy will comment, and then he'll say, that's not Ingle McCringleberry. Which will be even funnier.
That would be. We got to do that. We got to do that. There's one that says, why are you so excited about a jersey?
Like a full jersey?
I'm excited about mine. But jersey.
I do feel that there is a portion of the collectors out there that expect you to be as disappointed as they are with every card that isn't amazing. And
yes.
That's not what we do. and people need to understand that. That's not what we do. It's not our job to be a Debbie Downer while on camera. Obviously, if we see something that's blatantly wrong with the card, we're going to be like, oh, man, that sucks. You know, there's a smudge on the auto. There's a ding on the corner. There's a crease on the card, you know. But I'm not going to pull a perfectly fine, you know, single-color jersey and be like, all right, we got a relic card of, oh, man, this thing's a piece of crap, and then just throw it off camera. Like, that's not what we do.
This
sucks. Like, oh, we're going to send this out to you. I wouldn't suggest you open this article of mail from us. It's literally just filled with crap. So,
like, you got a hit. I'm really sorry you got this hit. You know, you want me just to throw it away for you? I can't believe you should be insulted.
Yep. Yeah, you should call these people and demand your money back.
One guy, get your fingers off the cards, moron.
You should be using tongs. Didn't you know that? You should have tongs.
I don't even. I love that because I'm like, what am I supposed to use?
Your mouth.
Would it be better? Wouldn't that be awkward if I'm trying to mouth open the cards?
There's the trim your fingernails comment. WWE guy, trim your fingernails.
That was a good comment.
Trim your nails.
Thank you, grooming police. it's entertainment. It's really funny. That's why I go through these and I just laugh at like the comments that people make. Blog TV made us immune to it. So yeah, these are nothing compared to blog TV.
Oh yeah, you took the lumps. You took the lumps. If you were a breaker on blog TV and you spent more than a handful of months there and you actually got, like, you know, if you had a semi-full room on blog TV, you took your lumps. You took the shot.
Oh, yeah.
People came in and spammed you. They would clear your – I mean, come in and hit you with 20 lines of whatever and just spam the crap out of you, give you fake links and stuff like that to, like, weird websites and this, that, and the other thing. I'm glad that's where we started. I mean, Ustream is a breeze compared to that because of all the filtering and the spam blocking and stuff like that.
It's a beautiful thing.
But we had a guy that actually created a Twitter account to call us out on stuff. Like, literally made an account. I don't know who this person was to this day. Yeah, I Hate Leighton Sports Cards. That is correct. It was an original name. Sarah remembers it very well. She's sitting here with me. I Hate Leighton Sports Cards.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was original. It was, you know, it's catchy. It's to the point. I respect that. You know, they didn't beat around the bush. And they told us how they really felt about us and everything else. You know, basically anything they could think of that just they didn't think was right. We were accused of actually fixing randoms. That was pretty cool.
I remember you telling me about that, yeah.
We were accused of fixing a random. They said, how come, you know, Joe Schmo and, you know, Donna or whoever, this guy and this girl get all the good teams every single time, every single random? How do you do that? You must be fixing it. I can't believe this. I will never buy into your breaks again. And my reply was, you know, I was very blunt and to the point in my response. But, you know, I said, obviously, there's no way for us to do this. This is literally a computer program that, you know, it's a random name generator. I think you might be confusing yourself because these people that are getting all the good teams, generally you're buying 5 to 7 spots each time we do the break. They're putting the odds in their favor. If they own a third of the teams, their chances are they're going to get at least 2 of the good ones. Not every time, but most of the time. So, you know, I went on explaining that. And then I think just literally days after that, somebody made another Twitter account called Cardboard Police. and they said that we were holding back teams. They said, this is not fair to all of the customers that you hold back teams on pick your team style breaks. And I literally, so I listed another one, and I think it was during 2012 National Treasures football, if I'm not mistaken. We would list the break, and you remember, Doug and Dan, very well. We would list a case, pick your team style, the Colts and the Redskins and the Seahawks were gone as fast as you could hit publish. I mean, you put the thing on it, and I sometimes triple sold the Colts within 1 second because everybody wanted Andrew Luck. So, I said, okay, no problem. If that's the case, feel free to be on my site right now. I will publish another case. If you would like the Colts, you can get them. So I published another case, Colts, Seahawks, Redskins, gone. Like 1 second. I'm like, see? I didn't know how to explain to this person that it's first come, first serve, and with the hotter teams, they go in seconds sometimes. I didn't know how to explain it to them. So it's just amazing to me that people will take that amount of time to literally create, like, a false account and try to, like, get under your skin in that sense. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's people that are misery loves company, I guess, or they love to get a reaction out of people, or one of the two. And, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, we've got accused of the same thing. That's like, are you holding back teams? I never get this team, blah, blah, blah. This year's football, at least, it seems like the teams are spread out. Bills, Packers seem to go first. But, yeah, last year, I mean, geez, yeah. Immediately, Redskins, Colts, Seahawks, So it's like, and you try to sporadically put it up, and you try to put it up at different times. Like, you don't have a set time when you put it up. And they're still right away. I mean, you could put it up at 5. I think I put one up at like 3 in the morning one time, and I woke up in the morning, yep, and it was gone. It's like you try to do it, and it's just, that's unfortunately when you do team style, that's what's going to happen.
I guess that's all kind of lumped into that whole, like, the blog TV generation that we, took our lumps with. I think that was kind of all part of that. It was during that
definitely.
Time, and, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a pretty silly segment. I don't think we've ever gotten into anything like that. So I hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed that segment. I think it was pulling back the curtain, so to speak.
I don't think we talked too much about sports cards, actually. I mean,
no.
What are they?
I think when I post it to iTunes, I think I'm going to put the subject. I'm going to put fingernails, cheeseburger. I'm going to put all that in the title, so people are like, "Wow, what's this show about?" Let's take a listen.
Gluten-free cereal.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. But hey, before we do go, obviously check out LeightonSportsCards.com. You're going to be doing some Black Friday breaks on Saturday, right? Tell everybody a little bit about what you got going on.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, we have a whole lot of Panini Black Friday packs in store. We are going to be doing different breaks. We already have, I think, 4 listed right now for Saturday. We'll probably add a few more for Sunday. Believe it or not, I'm actually not coming into the shop Thursday or Friday for Thanksgiving or for Black Friday. I'm not going to be here. I promised my wife a solid 48 hours, and that's what I'm going to do. We're going to take 2 days and take them for ourselves and just stay out of the shop for 2 days and then get right back to it early Saturday morning. We're going to be doing a Panini Black Friday packs where – for ones that are like, $50, $60 a spot, for more of a higher-end break, we're going to do 2 packs per spot purchase. There's a playbook case and a football mixer. And then for if you just want to get into a cheaper break, we got like a hockey break and some other stuff listed where you get like 1 pack per spot. We're going to be adding probably a couple more for Sunday night, and then obviously, with any other leftover packs, we'll put together other Panini breaks and get them out to you guys.
Nice. I'll have to get in a few of those or three. For sure. And if you could do me a favor, tell Sarah to not post that you're going to have 48 hours off on Facebook, because I'm going to get that look from my wife. Like, she's going to be like, I'm only getting like 7 hours here. I'm only getting like 35 minutes from your time here. What the hell? No, I'm just kidding.
That was the plan behind me saying that. I was hoping your wife was listening and, you know, figure I'd get you into a little bit of trouble at home.
Well, she can only stand so much of my voice, so she unfortunately does not, I mean, fortunately, I should say, does not listen to this show, so.
I'll make sure that stays off of the public channels for your wife's eyes, so.
I'm just kidding. I'll just buy her some Ugg boots and, you know, keep her. No, keep her okay.
You may have to bribe her though. So.
Yeah. I did want to talk about some Leaf memories. Get your guys' thoughts on it. I do have to give. You know, we don't talk about Leaf enough on this show. I think Leaf has really stepped it up in their product. You know, value department. If you guys don't break any of their products, I mean, just Memories was an awesome product. I really like Leaf Metal Draft too. That came out before that. You know, it could be the fact that they don't have to pay the 20% on the licensing, that they're able to add more value. But I just think with Brian Gray's product, if you don't know Brian Gray, owner of Leaf, is so passionate about sports cards that it really shows through on some of his products. And I'm not saying there's guys at Topps and Panini that aren't passionate, but sometimes they have a new, you know, guy that's fresh out of college packing the products and stuff like that and maybe doesn't really realize the value. But Brian Gray definitely has his finger on the pulse of the market, and Leaf Memories, in my opinion, it was a winner last year, and it's a winner this year. I really like the buyback autos. I love the collation of the prospect autos. The memorabilia redemption thing is awesome. It kind of brings redemptions to a new level. You go on their site, and they have a nice video when you type in the redemption code, and a pack opens, and it shows you what you got. So it's kind of like an experience, as much as you can do with a redemption. They've taken that extra step. So they have a hot memorabilia redemption, and they're falling like one or two per case. Last case we broke, we got a Pete Rose auto ball and a Frank Thomas auto ball, and it shows you a picture of the actual ball when you open the redemption on Leaf's website. So really cool. What are your thoughts on it, Mitch?
I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. As anybody who's been in my room while we've been breaking this stuff knows that I love Leaf Memories. I was a huge fan of last year, and I'm a huge fan of this year. Like you were just saying, you know, I think it's weird to me that Brian Gray has this uncanny ability to pick and choose these prospects, and then all of a sudden, these prospects are worth a ton of money. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, he must really, really, really pay attention to who's out there in single A, double A, overseas, Europe, coming over from the Dominican and Cuba and everywhere else. I mean, he's got autographs of guys that no one else does, and he goes out of his way to get them. I mean, he had Jose Abreu before everybody was talking about Jose Abreu, and then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, we have Jose Abreu, and then this guy, and then that guy. He had Chris Bryant. Early, he had, you know, all the big names, Yasiel Puig last year with Leaf Ultimate Draft. I mean, it's unbelievable how he gets everybody before they get big. It's always fun to open. It's always a blast. It's exactly what it says it is. It's memories. You know, I ripped a ton of 1990 and 1991 Leaf baseball, a ton of it. And, you know, that was right in my kitchen those years, 89, 90, 91, 92. I opened so many cards when I was, you know, younger, and that's what I did. And my dad would buy boxes for me, and we'd come home and rip them and sort them and put them in order and, you know, top load the Frank Thomases and the Ken Griffey Juniors and everybody else. And, you know, and that's what we're into. So it's, you know, you get to enjoy that, and then he combines it with the prospect autos of today. I think it's, you know, it's just a great, great set that he puts out. I hope he keeps doing it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he pretty much does. He scouts it out. I wonder if he hires, you know, maybe retired scouts or maybe ones that got let go from the teams to scout these guys out, or he just has a keen eye, you know. Maybe he has Singletary, you know.
I want winners.
You know, he gets those guys, and he gets them to sign. You know, and Puig was like the only – he was a live auto like freaking 3, 4, 5 months before Topps even got the redemptions filled. So those products skyrocketed, and they went from like $65 a box to like $170 a box at one point. It was crazy.
Yep. And that set was actually out. We actually – I remember busting it, 2012 Leaf Ultimate Draft. I remember ripping it and pulling – Yasiel Puig autographs and not knowing who he was. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Who's this? And he knew, like, and like he would put his bigger hits at the bottom of the box. And he knew that this was, like, a big card at the time. And I, you know, I'd like to consider myself an avid baseball collector and an avid fan. And I knew the name, but I didn't know how big he was going to be or anything along those lines. And then before you know it, you know, a couple months had gone by, and then all of a sudden everyone wanted 2012 Leafs Ultimate Draft. It exploded because of one guy. I think the only other company out there that had him live at the time was that Rize company, R-I-Z-E.
Yeah.
I think they were the only other ones out there that had a live Puig auto, and that stuff got on fire too. And that was, you know, that was super cheap to start.
Yeah. Yeah, we all wish we could go back and buy all those for, like, $10, you know, when they first came out. Hindsight. But, yeah, he's got a brand new
kidding.
He's already caught the fire. But he's got some guys in Memories and in Metal Draft that are, like, Cuban defectors and stuff that, you know, could be the next week. You can get them cheap now, too, so that aren't in
top
spots yet.
Let me ask you, had you heard of Gosuke Kato before 2013 Leaf Memories dropped?
No, I did not.
Okay. You know his cards are selling for a lot of money. Like,
yes.
He's this huge, like, Japanese imported player for the Yankees. I mean, we pulled a couple of his autos, and people are like, oh, my God, you got a Kato, you got a Kato. I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. And it's already, like, super hot.
Yeah.
He's already done it. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's already done it again. Yeah, I mean, I think he's in Bowman Draft, but he doesn't have an auto, right?
Right. He's got a base card. He doesn't have an autograph.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody waits for Brian Gray to put a checklist of players together. And then the following year, everybody just says, okay, well, we'll just take the ones that worked for him and sold well. And this is what we're going to put him on set.
Right. You're probably right. I'm sure they have somebody just, you know, scouring eBay on these. Like, this Puig guy, you know. That's a think a deal. But I think they didn't ink Puig until he got called up. Then they scrambled to get him, and then they couldn't even get him live. Brian Gray was sitting back going, I have him live. I mean, not to mention Lillard. I mean, frick, he signed Lillard before he even played an NBA game. So, and then the guy becomes a rookie of the year. I mean, and actually, Leaf created a buzz for – Leaf helped out Panini by Panini not having him in early products and getting him late and adding that extra value and selling boxes for Immaculate and Flawless and Intrigue with Lillard.
Yeah. They actually worked together.
Know?
They collaborated to get Damian Lillard into Panini products.
Yeah.
I'm sure both sides benefited. And still are to this day, but I mean that's how far ahead of the curve Brian Gray usually is. With not all the time, you know, he's not God or anything, but the guy is amazing at pinpointing these prospects and these names before they get hot. It's a true talent of his.
Yeah, well, there was like a lawsuit against from Panini to Leaf, and that dropped after Lillard deal happened. So I'm sure that was one of the things. Like,
yep.
Hey, well, I'll sign this over to you, but you don't have a lawsuit on Crusade design. Go ahead and let's wipe that out. So
yeah, and the whole Prism discussion, where
yes.
I believe Leaf, I don't know everything about it, but there was some kind of likeness rights with the Prism technology between the two companies.
Yeah, well, one's Prism with an S and one's Prism with a Z. It's like Vanilla Ice and David Bowie. There's a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun in Vanilla Ice's. So it's a little bit different, you know. S and Z changes it up, so.
Yep.
Just saying. Well, I did want to – we do have a giveaway that we will be doing soon. I'm trying to figure out, what do we got to make somebody do to win a free spot in tomorrow's break? What do they got to do? I didn't have anything planned. Maybe they can come on and sing the Ramit song. Dan will probably give you 2 spots if you do that.
That is true. That should be the like our intro song should be the Ramit song. You got it all wrong.
Should I play it again?
People
are like, no, don't play it again.
How about the person who can come on and tell us?
Have you heard this?
It's excellent.
Is off. The Rams get down so nobody scoffs. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to dice. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the L.A. Rams.
Hollywood Hampton, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's going to get rough.
All right. That's about enough people can handle, I think. I think that's people's ears
are bleeding.
I do like
that they took their time to spell it out. Just in case you couldn't like keep up with the actual... like the phonetics of the actual song.
It was a fine moment for the Rams franchise, I gotta say, you know? Move your hips. Helps me. Just get down with it.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
I was curious if maybe one of the people, maybe somebody out there that was at our party in Chicago at the MSCC, the Mojo Break Leighton Sports Cards Party that we throw annually. Well, you know, it was the first time last year, so we could call it annually, as long as we do it again. maybe somebody that could tell us where all the T-shirts went. Since we had people, and they're all gone.
I think we have like five. I think I have like five. I have like five.
Just five? I have one T-shirt.
Well, as long as you don't mind mustard stains on, I'll go ahead and send you some.
I prefer mustard stains, actually.
Actually, you have to pay extra for that. Yeah. Extra for the mustard stains. That's a game used right there for Doug right there. What's
exactly.
That?
Game used material.
Nun647 says they bought a lot off of eBay, so I mean that's probably where they went.
Yeah, I figured somebody would eBay them.
All right. Well, I guess just call in to win. 347-855-8815. 347-855-8815, and you got to sing the Ram song. First person to call in. Looks like we got somebody. 305.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, Trevor, what's going on?
Not much.
You get a spot in the 4-box football break tomorrow. The 2 boxes of Bowman Sterling, 1 box of Leaf Vespa football, and Chrome. So you're in there.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Aim up.
Awesome.
Enjoy your wife's, your new wife's cooking.
Yeah. she makes a damn good grilled cheese. That's about it. But I'm working on it.
Oh man.
Well, now we know she's not listening.
Yeah. It'll probably be the one show she listens to that I've talked about, you know, not spending Black Friday with her and stuff. So it'll be this show. It's like, oh, I listened in tonight, you know. So, We'll see.
Cool. See you guys tomorrow. Thank
all
you.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Trevor.
Where's my free spot?
That's what I'm saying.
Where the hell is my free spot? Good Lord.
Is this the free break?
Is this the free break?
Is that the free break that you were talking about? That's the one tomorrow? That's the free break?
That's the free break.
All right, I'll stop by.
I'm gonna send my email now.
We're gonna do 12 cases of flawless free break.
Yeah.
What we do? Give back. Giving back.
Yeah.
Dude, somebody's gonna take that sound clip, Dan, and they're gonna say, "Hey, you said it, Dan."
Message free mojo contest. Put in 18 case break of flawless. 5 free spots. And say attention, Doug.
Oh,
say attention, Doug.
Yep.
That's Dan Anderson at Gmail. I just said your last name.
You just gave away my last name. I'm glad. I think there's only like 4 people listening.
I gave away Rich's last name too.
Yeah, that's kind of a given.
Kind of out there on the internet.
I'm going to have people Facebook stalking me, LinkedIn stalking me, MySpace, Friendster. Oh, bad.
That's awesome.
Well, you're lucky. You got those football cards out there, man, and you put it on eBay, sign them, you know.
I know. I haven't even seen them like in person yet. Like, right, I guess they're kind of, it's like a redemption right now. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, we did our rookie premiere photo shoot from Topps, and they made cards, and I'm eating a football, and Dan's doing the Heisman pose. I'm pretty cool.
Doing the Heisman. Are you really eating a football?
It looks like it in the photo. Looks like I'm eating a football.
That's why you're talking about going to lunch. How do I not own that
double time? How do I not have that in my collection?
We'll sign them and send them over. They're $500 PSA 10.
Hand numbered.
That's a deal.
One of 10,000.
That's a deal. No, you should number it to like 1,204, like platinum football.
1,204, and I'll like take a piece of my shirt and I'll just put some scotch tape on the card, and I'll just have a little relic there for you.
break worn relic.
It's event worn.
Yep. Nice. Well, I think we pretty much. I wanted to review Chrome and Sterling, but you know that wouldn't be too exciting. We'll not do that. And I wanted to talk about leaf and group break failures and gluten, and we covered all that. So pretty much.
I'll do Sterling for you real quick. Sterling, what, two hits a box. Relics numbered to 12,004. Sticker autos. $200 a box. Chrome.
not a bad looking product though. I will give him that. No.
The product was great. The product looked really good. Looked really sharp. But I don't know. I mean, it's some of the relics that we pulled are really nice. The prime ones are really nice. But that extra hit in the box that, I mean, how do you have a what's considered a higher end product and throw one of the hits into every pack that's a single color relic and it's numbered like 1204 or 1214? I mean, if you go in to buy a pack at a hobby shop, you're probably spending about 50, 60 bucks a pack. And you're getting a sticker auto that's not numbered, and you're getting a relic that is numbered to at 1200. That's $30 a hit. I mean, you could almost buy a box of platinum for that. For that price.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to comment on this, actually.
That's the truth. My wife told me before I came on, and this is because it's actually all your guys' fault, by the way, where you guys had me on the other time, and we were talking about things we did not like with certain products or whatever, and we were talking about, you know, it was kind of a negative episode. No offense to anybody, but I got drawn into the negativity, and I complained a lot. So Sarah told me that I'm not allowed to complain this episode. So, let's talk about something else.
Just facts. Just facts.
Right. Facts or not, I'm going to come off as I'm complaining, so I'm not allowed.
Well, but you need to tell her that it's Sports Card Live Complaining. That's what the name of the show is. It's Sports Card Live Negativity.
It's in parentheses.
We didn't talk too much about sports cards in general, but when we did, it was pretty positive. So you gotta throw a little bit of negativity in there, a little bit of both sides.
You need the yin and the yang.
You need to balance it out a little bit.
You do.
Yeah.
You need duality. There's no doubt. You need the yin and the yang. For a complete show, but I promised my wife I would be positive. Everything is good here on the home front, so we're all optimistic and positive right now. So no negativity for me tonight.
Happy.
Well,
happy.
I love the product because I have 16 boxes still. So I mean, after I get done,
apparently you love it a lot.
After I get through the 16 boxes, I may be able to give you guys an honest opinion. But for right now, I'm reserving my opinion on it. So,
we have plenty in stock as well. But
Doug, those are your 18 boxes. Those aren't mine.
Those are Dan. I
those are yours. I passed on that product.
I'll be honest with you. I think buy low right now with 2013 football. A lot of products have gone down and they have gotten dirt cheap. And I think next year you're going to see a lot of sophomores coming out of this draft that are going to stand out. I think that already a lot of these rookies are underrated and you're going to see their true value come out next year when they're not overshadowed by products such as Flawless and products such as Immaculate, and overshadowed by all these high-end products that are coming out at the same time as more of a middle or middle high end of the road football product. I think football cards across the board are not getting the respect that they deserve because of all of the other products out there right now. I really do believe that.
And I agree. I think we're going to look back on this rookie class and be like, wow, that's.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Keenan Allen could turn into a Reggie Wayne or you know, I know he's not the size of Calvin, but Keenan Allen, I mean, and Justin Hunter coming around. Tavon Austin has, like, become ridiculous.
There are seriously at least 10 or 15 rookies that you can name off the top of your head that are performing well and are going to continue to perform well, so long as they stay healthy. I mean, look at Mike Lennon. Look at the win he just had. Are you kidding me? He threw like one interception for his last ten touchdown passes, I believe it is. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and he's the first rookie, I believe, to have 8 touchdowns in 8 games or something like that. There's like, it's never happened before where he's thrown
right.
a touchdown at least one in 8 games as a rookie. So. I mean that in itself. I mean, buy that guy. I mean, they're not going back. Obviously, they got rid of Freeman. So I mean, Doug Martin comes back next year. They get rid of Shiano and they get some other couple pieces. Then they could be a contender, and you could be talking about Mike Glennon, you know, as a possible, you know, playoff contender next year. So I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
and Tavon, you're getting to see a little. They're using Tavon a little bit more and a little bit more, and all of a sudden you're getting to see that explosive player that we all saw in college. You know what I mean? You're seeing just a little piece of it at a time. They're not showing you the whole menu all at once. They're just showing you the appetizers. You know what I mean? There's so much talent in this draft, and you're getting to see it. Every week somebody else steps up. It's like Andre Ellington kind of took a back seat lately. Because, you know, I guess he got his dreads ripped out and now he's sore. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, Rashard Mendenhall is kind of getting the bulk of the load there. There's a lot of rookies out there right now, man, that I think you can buy really, really, really cheap. And I think next year you can turn around and sell them and make a profit on almost every one of them.
Yeah.
Well, you forgot. Bobby Woods. That guy's
going to
be a stud. And the best thing about Tavon Austin, does anybody know what the best thing about Tavon Austin is? What is the best thing about him?
R-A-M?
He plays for the Rams.
Oh, God.
That's the best thing about him. So
he's a man?
On that note.
He's a man? He's 40?
No.
It really is a shame that they don't have a quarterback. I feel bad for the Rams and the fans for the Rams that they don't have a quarterback.
They have Kellen Clemens.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oregon.
He's
2006.
Thread the needle.
2006, National Treasures.
And we haven't even gotten a Zach Stacy or a Matt Glennon auto who... One has been doing well for the Raiders. I mean, Terrell Pryor, it almost seems like it's going to be Matt McGlinnon now. So, I mean, then Zach Stacy's, you know, he may not even come out until contenders. So look at the, you know, the Rams value, and this is the only time I'm going to use Ram and value or in a, you know, in the same statement. But Zach Stacy.
No, you'll use them next year because they got 2 first-round picks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They bent over the Washington Redskins for RG3.
So beginning of the year, that RG3 that looked like it was actually going to work out for the Redskins. Now you look at it and you're like, oof, I don't know. But I mean, RG3 is still a stud. That guy.
Yeah, come on. Look at the play calling. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like,
that
team has got so many issues across the board. It's not even funny. They're not giving RG3 a fair chance. And I feel bad even worse for him now because you darn well know that next year or the year after, he's going to have to relearn a completely new offense. It's only a matter of time before Kyle Shanahan's gone and Mike Shanahan's gone, and then he's going to have to relearn everything all over again, and then we're going to talk about how he's going to have this adjustment period and da-da-da-da-da. I feel like the guy's going to be on, like, a 4-year adjustment period until he finally settles down and gets with, a normal system that he can, you know, somebody builds a system around the quarterback. I mean, you know, Tom Brady didn't fall into a system. Bill Belichick devised a system that works for Tom Brady. I mean, that's what he does. That's what great coaches do. They devise a system that works for their quarterback. They haven't really done that for him. They had the option, so they used it last year, and it worked for a little while. He hurt his leg. They didn't adjust a thing. They just said, okay, well, this is all we can do. So here you go. I mean, they haven't changed anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be fine, but there's definitely going to be a learning curve because, again, like you said, I don't see Shanahan, either one of the Shanahans, being there much longer. I mean, they're what are they, 3-8, 3-9, something like that.
Yeah, it's RG 3-8.
RG 3-8.
Oh, man. You better hope he gets one more win before the end of the season, so he lives that name down.
I know. RG 3-12.
Well, I think we're pretty much running out of time here, so I did want to tell everybody to check out LaytonSportsCars.com and MojoBreak.com. We got some breaks scheduled for tomorrow, so check our sites out. And, Rich, as always, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and, you know, we'll have you on again, obviously.
Gentlemen, the pleasure is all mine. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, guys.
Absolutely, man. Take care. All right, guys, so we're going to hit the outro. You know, check out our sites, and if you guys are in the feed tomorrow, we got some basketball. We got Immaculate. We got some Chrome. We got Sterling football. We got all kinds of stuff going on throughout the week. So check out the site, and we'll see you guys on Sports Card Live next week. Same time, same channel. Peace.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.